So, Esmeralda, maybe you would love to have a presidential-themed dinner party for your friends, and maybe you'd want to use some of these president-approved recipes.
Be very presidential.
Sure. The recipes are courtesy of Poppy Cannon, the author of The President's Cookbook, Practical Recipes from George Washington to the Present to the Former First Lady. So here's the first recipe. Let's see if we've, because I've got we've got the ingredients, we've got the directions, everything here in case you want to recreate these classic presidential dishes. The first one is for George Washington. Go back to the very first president, George Washington, and his Indian hoe cakes. Hoe cakes, which were baked.
HOE, by the way.
Yeah, HOE. They were baked on a hoe in an open hearth. They were among our first president's favorite foods. Washington typically ate three small hoe cakes for breakfast with tea and honey. And this recipe serves up to 4 to 6 people. So, Esmeralda, you want to make some hoe cakes?
I've actually seen that on TV. It looks kind of neat.
Do you?
Because it is on a metal,
yeah.
whatever that thing is. It,
The
does it
hoe?
have a different name?
No, I
It
don't
just
think so.
seems weird.
No, it's a hoe.
Right.
Water ground white cornmeal, salt, melted lard, or other shortening in boiling water. Not a lot of complicated ingredients there. Combine the cornmeal 1 cup with a half teaspoon of salt. Add a tablespoon of lard or shortening in enough boiling water to make the dough that is solid enough to hold shape. Form the dough into two thin oblong cakes. Place them on a hot, well-greased, heavy pan. You don't have to use a hoe today. Bake in a preheated, moderately hot 375-degree oven for about 25 minutes and serve the cakes hot. That seems kind of bland, doesn't it? You're going to need a lot of honey and tea, don't you think?
Well, it's like cornbread or whatever.
Yeah. So white cornmeal, lard, salt, water. That's it.
Isn't bread just flour, water,
Yeah.
salt,
Yeah.
some oil?
Yeah. You're going to have to dress those up a little bit, I think, Esmeralda. You're going to have company over, you're going to have to dress up your hoe cakes.
I think I would serve them on the side with something.
Yeah, we have hoe cakes on the side for everybody this morning. Okay, we got a break here. More recipes from the commanders in chief from the past, right here on WGN.
Oh, free, baby.
Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. Lou requested Roy Orbison. That's Dream Baby. We'll get a twofer from Roy Orbison. Good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell, and Steve Cochran at 6 for the morning drive. Talk or text 312-981-7200. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. But the best way to stay connected is on our Facebook page. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Coming up after the 4:30 news, Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head again in another battle of Celebrity Name Game, the radio version of Celebrity Name Game. We'll get into that and all that cool stuff. But right now we are talking about 15 president-approved recipes. These are actual recipes from a book called The President's Cookbook, Practical Recipes from George Washington to the Present to the Former First Lady. And we were telling you about George Washington's hoe cakes before the break, and now we'll move on here. Thomas Jefferson enjoys Dutch waffles. The widely traveled Jefferson was a big fan of foreign foods. He couldn't bear to live without the delicious European dishes he'd gotten used to. So when Jefferson returned stateside, after his role as minister to France ended in 1789, he brought recipes back with him. He also brought back a waffle iron, which he had purchased after eating the tasty treats for the first time in Holland. The recipe here makes 6 waffles, and it is Jefferson's, but it has been updated, Cannon writes. So This is a basic waffle recipe, Esmeralda.
Is there anything in it?
Eggs, heavy cream, salt, baking powder, flour.
But there didn't any topping?
No. No.
Hmm.
They're just, you know. Here's what it says. It's basically, well, you've got a waffle iron.
Yes.
And it says serve piping hot. It's just their basic waffles. Nothing in them. They say to serve piping hot with butter, maple syrup, sour cream, or honey. So sour cream, I guess. Why? If you want to have more of a savory,
sweet, sour.
Yeah. Okay. How about this? Andrew Jackson's Floating Island. Andrew Jackson's most infamous White House party dish was, without a doubt, the 1,400-pound block of cheese that was served at his last public reception. The damage from the event was so bad, according to Cannon, the author, that cheese was crushed into the carpet and curtains and smeared all over the walls of the White House. The next president, Martin Van Buren, secured $27,000 from Congress in part to clean up the mess.
Wait, it was rubbed all on the curtains?
It says the cheese was crushed into the carpet and curtains and smeared on the walls of the White House. They must have gone nuts.
I was going to say, they had a party.
That is a party in the White House. At other occasions, Jackson might serve a dish called the Floating Island. Variations of the dessert were popular all over the South. This recipe, which serves 8 to 10, comes from the kitchen of Jackson's Tennessee home, the Hermitage. So this is not the giant cheese block this is not the recipe for a 1,400-pound block of cheese that destroyed the White House because a bunch of lunatics were running around. I just pictured a bunch of people running around smearing cheese on the wall. What's going on there?
So did they get mad that all there was, like, all there is cheese?
All we have, yeah, there's no refreshments, but there is this 1,400-pound block of cheese. Hell no! They just start rubbing it all over the curtains. Andrew Jackson had some maniac friends, huh?
I wonder if starting then they banned blocks of cheese.
Yeah, no more cheese in the White House.
Jefferson ruined it.
Yep. No, Jackson.
Oh, sorry. Jackson ruined it.
So the ingredients here for the Floating Island: sponge cake, blanched almonds, sherry, plain boiled custard, almond or vanilla flavoring, whipped cream, and currant jelly. Cover the bottom of a large bowl with sponge cake, either whole or broken into pieces. Sprinkle 1 cup of chopped blanched almond over the cake. Sprinkle 1 tablespoon of sherry over all. Take 1 quart of boiled custard, flavored with almond or vanilla flavoring, and pour it over the top of the bowl. Then top with generous amounts of whipped cream and dab bits of currant jelly on the whipped cream. Serve directly from the bowl.
I'm seeing pictures of various floating islands. That looks neat.
Does it look like it seems like a sweet like 7-layer dip kind of a thing? Doesn't
it? No, it's literally, you know, whatever the cake is.
Yeah, it's floating.
It's floating in that custard.
Oh. Okay, so it's floating. So you got some sponge cake
looking.
Sponge cake with some stuff that's floating in some stuff.
Right.
Sounds fantastic.
It looks good. Need a spoon for it, but...
Is everybody just going to eat out of the one bowl? And then just start smearing it all over the walls?
That's what happened. They ran out of napkins. They
just started using the curtains as napkins.
They didn't care. He was leaving, right?
Yeah.
That was his last... Yeah, so it's his last hurrah. He's like, let's ruin the place.
Exactly, man. Like, Joel Goodson's parents are out of town. Let's go nuts. And then he took the Porsche out for a spin. All right. Martin Van Buren. You ready for Martin Van Buren, Esmeralda?
Yes.
He enjoyed pickled oysters.
Ah, he sounds like he would.
Just seems like that kind of guy. Yeah. That damn Van Buren guy. Seems like the kind of guy that would enjoy pickled oysters. According to Cannon, the author, our 8th president was fond of oysters prepared pretty much in any way, raw with wine, which is how he once served them to Aaron Burr. This dish would have been served as an appetizer. Aaron Burr was probably really pissed off, and he had these pickled oysters. He went out and shot Hamilton right after right after he ate these. I'm going to go take this out on Hamilton. Thanks, Van Buren, for the pickled oysters.
I show up for cheese. I get oysters.
I'm going to go kill Hamilton. Oh, man, could you imagine if they smeared oysters all over the place? All over the walls and everything?
Oh, the smell alone.
Oh, man. Does it say what kind? I got to go back here. Does it say what kind of cheese it was?
I imagine a cheddar. I don't know why.
Is it? Hold on a second. But it just says a block of cheese, 1,400-pound block of cheese. It depends on the cheese, though. You can get some really stinky cheese. You know what I mean? If it was one of the varieties of cheese that stinks, the whole White House could have just stunk on ice.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
Because, like, cheddar would start to smell.
Yeah. But, I mean, but there are some that start out really smelly.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, you'd go 0 to 60
yeah,
real quick.
Exactly. So, for your pickled oysters, and I know this is a recipe you're going to want to jot down, Esmeralda, because you sound very enthused
yes,
about it.
I enjoy oysters.
Raw oysters, bay leaves, red pepper pod, salt, peppercorns, whole cloves, mace, allspice, whole allspice, cider vinegar, and lemon. Man!
You know, that doesn't sound bad.
No, it sounds like a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on there, you know?
Well, it's like, you know, it's like a pickle.
Cook 1 gallon shucked raw oysters in their own liquor until the edges begin to curl. Drain them, save the liquor. Rinse the oysters in cold water, pat them dry, put them aside. Add your bay leaves, your pepper pod, salt, whole peppercorns, teaspoon of whole cloves, mace, allspice, oyster liquor. Measure the liquor and add the same amount of cider vinegar. Bring the mixture to a boil. Add 1 sliced lemon, pour the mixture all over the oysters, and pack in hot, sterilized jars and then seal. Because he's got to go through the pickling process. I bet that would be okay.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad.
No, I'd eat that.
I wonder what he served them with.
A 1,400-pound block of cheese.
Ugh, that might not be good.
No, you can't do cheese and oysters. All right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we'll wrap this up. I'm going to pick some of what I think are the more interesting and weird recipes to close this out. And then after the 4:30 news, we'll play a round of Celebrity Name Game. Nick DiGilio here on WGN. Will you sleep all day and the catfish play on the mind? All those fishing boats with their sails afloat. 2 for Tuesday, man. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Lou requested Roy Orbison. That's Blue Bayou. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're looking at some of these recipes that are actual presidential recipes. These are recipes that former presidents, it was President's Day yesterday, so former presidents of the United States enjoyed. It's taken from a book by Poppy Cannon, the author of The President's Cookbook, Practical Recipes from George Washington to the Present to the Former First Lady. And we were speaking earlier of these nutcases who showed up for Andrew Jackson's final night in the White House. And Andrew Jackson served a 1,400-pound block of cheese that was then ripped apart and cheese was crushed into the carpet and into the curtains and smeared all over the walls. And we were wondering, or at least I was, I don't know if anybody, I doubt anybody else was wondering, just my stupid brain, what kind of cheese it was. You know, because there are, you know, cheeses that start out really smelly. There are some very smelly cheeses out there. Of course, the most infamous, according to the Three Stooges, Lindberger. Which was used in about 27 different Three Stooges shorts to make people smell bad. They would like rub Lindberger on their chest. So, but we do have this. But Esmeralda, Dan just looked up a little fact about the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, thank you for this fantastic tidbit of knowledge.
Any way I can help.
Online is not listing the type of cheese, but Esmeralda, it was made from the milk of 150 cows. Over the span of 4 days.
Oh, because it was so big?
I would imagine so.
No, just one cow?
I'm guessing over milk from 150 cows over the span of 4 days. I'm guessing it's smelly. My guess is that that's pretty smelly.
Because there were so many cows?
And it had to travel.
Yeah, it had to travel in a non-refrigerated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. I believe the question has been answered. I believe that cheese smelled.
Wouldn't all cheese then smell? Like, from that time?
Probably, yeah. Maybe cheese is just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Unless you're right there and you can eat it on, you know, on the spot without it having to travel anywhere. And of course, reminds me of that line in Anchorman. It's so hot. Milk was a bad choice. When he's drinking a carton of milk, it's like 100 degrees outside. By the way, milk is never a bad choice. Anyway, Chester Arthur. Esmeralda, he enjoyed Rhode Island eels.
These presidents are really just picking some very stank foods.
At a time when everything just stunk.
Right, everything, well, yeah.
Everything stunk.
You can't refrigerate it.
Yeah. During Arthur's time as president, he had on average one formal dinner a week. Oh. These meals had fewer courses than his predecessors enjoyed, but more guests. Grant would entertain up to 36 people, but Arthur upped the attendance to 54. More than anything, Arthur enjoyed inviting a few close friends to dinner and having conversations until late into the night. This dish, says the author, Arthur was particularly keen on, sometimes served with coleslaw. So it's eels, cornmeal, egg, lard, or salad oil. Cut the eels into pieces, dip them into batter made of cornmeal and egg. The batter should be moist, so add a little meal at a time. Preheat a deep skillet with lard or oil until very hot. Drop eel pieces in one at a time. Brown quickly, turn. Remove, drain on absorbent paper, and serve hot. So it's fried eel, essentially. Battered and fried eel.
I guess that could be good.
I've never had eel.
I've had it, I think. Yeah, that's eel. Japanese food.
Yeah, I've never had it.
I've eaten marinated or whatever.
I've eaten a lot of sort of unusual stuff, but I've never had eel. All right, how about this? Teddy Roosevelt. That's a Three Stooges reference. Teddy Roosevelt? You're wrong, quiz kid. Sorry. Just going off onto the Three Stooges. Limburger cheese, Teddy Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt, stuffed cucumbers. Like the Harrisons, the Roosevelt much preferred simple food to the fancy stuff. They were a comfortably affluent family who could eat what they liked. What they liked was simple, good simplicity in hearty helpings. They dined on cucumbers from their friend's garden in many varieties. So here it is, stuffed cucumbers. Cucumbers, tomato, apples, celery, walnuts, mayonnaise, chili sauce, Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper.
That sounds delicious.
It's, four young but large cucumbers, cut them into 12 cup-shaped pieces, scoop out the insides, skin three tomatoes, place them in boiling water for just a moment, scoop out the insides as well, chop two apples, half pound of celery, half pound walnuts, and the tomato shells. Mix well with 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, add a tablespoon of chili sauce, half tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper to taste. Mix well and stuff the cucumbers with this mixture. Top the cucumber with a dash of mayonnaise or sour cream, if you prefer, and finely chopped walnuts can be sprinkled on the top. It does sound good. I'd eat that.
Sounds refreshing.
It does, doesn't it? Especially after eating a bunch of eels and cheese.
Right. Although, again, wait, do they have refrigeration at this point?
Yes.
Oh, okay, then.
Yes.
Because I was going to say, that mayo.
How about this? Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Chafing dish scrambled eggs. Eleanor herself would make these eggs, which were served at Roosevelt's Sunday dinners using a silver chafing dish. Though seemingly basic, the author proclaims that the eggs are superior and this recipe will make enough for 3 servings. It's eggs, butter, cream, salt. Okay, that's what you do when you scramble eggs. Melt 1 tablespoon of butter in a pan. Stir in 6 eggs lightly, beaten with 3 tablespoons of cream. Add salt to cook until it's... Cook and stir gently until firm. Okay, that's a scrambled egg.
Wait, so they're just serving that at dinner? Is that a
Sunday
side?
Sunday dinners? I don't know. Yeah,
is that a main course?
I don't know.
Sounds.
Do you have a chafing dish?
I don't. I do not. I don't really entertain. Yeah.
That's a very funny joke in Hot Shots. when Carrie Elwes tries to return the chafing chafing dish. Forget it. I'm just going off on wacky comedy tangents that nobody knows about. So anyway, but that's just a recipe for scrambled eggs, right?
It seems weird to serve. I mean, how many times are you serving this?
Well, every Sunday, according to this.
Ugh. And do they serve other things?
Or no,
they
just like, a big pile. There's just eggs. A big giant pile of scrambled eggs in the middle of the White House.
Is it just like it's always? You know, nobody wants to come over because it's like it's gonna be eggs again.
They're gonna make scrambled eggs again. I don't care. And the last time I was there, they served a 1,400-pound block of cheese. I'm not going to the White House ever again. Best thing I had there was the eel. And then finally, old-fashioned beef stew for 60. This is Eisenhower. Eisenhower liked to cook simple dishes, and beef stew was a specialty. He had help from the staff in preparing the vegetables. He was in the kitchen with his favorite apron, stirring, tasting, and seasoning when he made the dish.
I like that.
That's cool, isn't it?
Good for him.
Eisenhower was awesome. Cut stock, or beef cut for stew, beef stock, small Irish potatoes, small carrots, white onions, fresh tomatoes, a bouquet of garni, flour, salt, and pepper. That's your basic. It's stew. You stew 20 pounds of beef and 3 gallons of beef stock. Jeez. For 2.5 hours. Season and add 8 pounds of peeled potatoes, bunches of carrots, and then... when the vegetables are tender, strain off the 2.5 gallons of stock and thicken with enough flour to make a medium thick sauce. Remove cheesecloth bag and thicken gravy. Add the meat and vegetables, season to taste. And let cook for another half an hour after you salt. That's a stick to your bones recipe right there.
And it's made with love.
By the President of the United States in his favorite apron.
I wonder if he would keep the apron on and serve people. I know, like, my mom will do that, but, like, why are you still wearing your apron?
Why are you still wearing your apron, yeah. Hey, we want to prove that you cooked it. Okay, we got a break. The news is coming up next, and then we'll have an edition of Celebrity Name Game right here on WGN.